Hello, I'm the host of Wild Podcast. My name is Darshawn McAway. If you typically listen to this podcast on audio-only platforms, well, rest assured, there's a link in the description that takes you to the video format of this podcast interview. Now, let's get on with our special guest.
Let's get right into it. Listen, a lot of times what gives me the accreditation, if you will,
Hello, I'm the host of Wild Podcast. My name is Darshawn. And it's going down like this.
Big Red helps me around the house. My dream car happens to be a 13 Tundra.
What's yours?
Anything else you got to say? Any words of maybe encouragement or words of hope?
All right. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Darshawn McAway. You are tuned in to wildpodcast.me. That's wowpodcast.me. Today we have a special guest. We have Kaylee Boysbert. She's going to be talking to us about her two books, Money Wise, Mabel's Burst and Bank, and also Make Money Your Thing. Kaylee, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on.
No problem. Okay, so I have an issue with money, and I'm not talking in a bad way. I'm just talking about I don't value money the way I used to. But under the circumstances, do you value money? Like, how did the money thing start for you?
That's a good question. Yeah, so it started growing up. I was raised by a single mom, and we didn't have a lot of money. So that was how the money thing started out. A lot of like scarcity. We can't afford that. We can't buy that. And I also was a very keen, introverted observer looking around me at all my friends. And, you know, they seemed to have the things I wanted and be able to get the things. So that started me on my money journey. It was really kind of when my mom, when I was begging her for a Super Nintendo over and over again, and finally she said, instead of the usual, like, we can't afford that, no, I can't buy that for you, she said, if you want it so bad, save up for it and buy it yourself. And my mind was like blown of, that's not a no, like, I can get it. And just ever since then, it's just been this journey of learning everything I can about money and realizing the possibilities and going after my big money goals. You know, it started with a Super Nintendo, but it's progressed to a lot bigger goals now in my life. So I think I do really value it. And it's important, kind of my background, where it all started, I think, to get me where I am, is that I have this appreciation for, you know, what it's like when you don't have a lot and how different it can be, though. And anyone can do these things to make their financial goals a reality.
So we're going to get into a couple of questions on the stepping stones of at what age should you have a certain amount of money saved up, like in your 20s? Where, like, how much money should you have between 20 and 30 and 30 and 40?
That's a good question. Those are tough. And I think it's the whole comparison thing, because it gets really overwhelming for people if you're not there. Like, I can say for myself, my 20s, I probably had nothing. I enjoyed my, you know, nights out going with friends to bars and things like that. So, you know, I'm the money person writing the books about money. And that was me in my 20s, although I wish it was different. And I'm doing everything I can to start educating young people, because there is that pivotal moment where you start earning serious money and you're on your own. You know, can we teach young people to start saving and investing at their 20s and 30s, and how impactful that is? So unfortunately, the 20s were kind of a write-off for me. And I think that's, you know, relatively, like, has been quite standard across the board for people. So if you can do anything in your 20s, that's huge. We have all sorts of charts where it shows, like, if you start in your 20s putting away something like $150 a month, and it, like, you invested in something like the S&P 500 that's annualizing 9 or 10%, it grows to something like $1 million by the time you're in your 60s. Like, that's huge. Only having to put away a couple hundred bucks a month, versus when you start in your 30s, that number is going to have to be a lot bigger of what you have to put away. And then if you start in your 40s, same thing. So I don't want to give like a range of where people should be, because I think it, you know, it's kind of an issue of like almost shaming ourselves when we're like, oh, I'm not there. Right. And then if we feel like we're not there, then it's just like almost like hands up in the air, give up. So I think it's, but targeting anything is better than nothing. And the sooner, the better.
I got you. So let's talk about your children's book, Money Wise, Mabel's Burst and Bank. How did that pop up?
Yeah. So I have a daughter. It looks like you have children too. So I think you can attest to the idea of when we have our kids, it's like we want so much for them. We want, you know, better. We want them to have a very financially abundant life. So I saw my daughter and she was around 5 years old and she was showing signs of being terrible with money, which, you know, in all like respect to her, of course, you know, she just didn't know anything about money. So I'm sure all 5-year-olds are pretty terrible with money. But it inspired me. Like it gave me this idea of what if we could have money conversations with our children as early as 5 years old? How powerful could that be? And that's what gave me the inspiration for Money Wise Mabel. So it's based on my own daughter around that age. And me thinking about like, how could I help teach her about money? And the book is about a little girl who learns about the power of saving and growing her money.
Got you. So let's do a little deep dive into Make Money Your Thing. How did that pop up? Like, what was that idea?
Yeah, so I was doing in-person sessions at my office before COVID hit. So I would do just different investing topics, and it was for only women I would have for these sessions. And they started out like that. It was a very scary thought. I'm very quiet, introvert. I'm like, I'm going to start doing these presentations, and I'm hoping women are going to show up. And they did. And they started getting bigger and bigger, the audience. And then COVID hit, and it was really tough because I felt like I couldn't, you know, be serving that community anymore. But then I got to thinking, well, how can I reach even more women, like the women that aren't in my local city that can't come to these events? Because if they like it so much, maybe there's more women outside of here that do. So that's where I got the idea of my book. And so I wrote it during COVID, Make Money Your Thing. And it's really about empowering women in just like a very safe, comfortable atmosphere. Like the book, I try to make it sound like you're having just a conversation with a girlfriend about money. And so women can feel like inspired and ready to take action with their finances because we're still in a place where women seem to be lagging men somewhat when it comes to investing money. And so I wanted to create this space where women can feel really comfortable and like they belong because I think that was one of the missing pieces that women really needed that. And yeah, so that's what I wrote the book for. Of course, men are allowed to read it too. Yeah, I did really want to make sure that women felt like it was speaking to them and their needs.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, well, you're leaving out the men. What's going on? But so I do understand.
Yeah, there's a lot of men who have read it and they said they like it. So
Right. So, okay, what's a good investment start financially? Is it like $100, maybe 500, 1,000? Do you tell people to get into stocks and bonds and things of that nature?
absolutely, yeah, you're yeah, exactly, you're right. And anything, like you're saying, $100, $500, start with what you have because all the platforms generally will be like able to have you invest at those levels. A lot of people think I need a lot of money before I can start investing. They think, you know, it's only reserved for like rich people. Like that was, in my opinion, what I thought. So if other people think that, you know, it makes sense, but yes, you can get started with like as little as probably $20, $25. Like I don't, it's, you know, it's very small amount. And that's the key, is just get started with whatever you can and invest regularly and often. So if you can have it just coincide with your pay period, like if you're getting paid twice a month, have money automatically go into your investment account and add it to your investments. That's a great way to go. And then if you're a young person and your time frame is quite long, then yes, like investing in equities, so stocks. A really easy way to do that is exchange traded funds, so ETFs. It's a basket of holdings. That's a great thing for young people, long-term time horizon. We have a lot of time for it to grow. That's key. For people that are later on in life that don't want as much volatility, that's when you start inserting some things like bonds and fixed income to start kind of lowering some of that risk.
Should we still carry cash? I know a lot of people have cars. Should we still carry cash?
I think we should, probably for just different reasons though too. I'm all about abundance and energy. So when I think there's something when you're carrying cash, it's almost like you feel like wealthy and rich and yeah, you got those like abundance vibes flowing, and I think we all need a little bit of that. But I think, you know, in some ways, I mean, probably sometime soon people aren't even going to be accepting it, but I think it's really good because it puts more of a limit on us, right? We have a limit of, oh, I have this much money. No, I'm not going to buy that because I also want to do this, this, and that kind of thing. Whereas, like, we're in this, you know, age of just tap digital cards, and there isn't really a limit. Like, the limit is whatever it is on your Visa or credit card, and that's not really money that's yours though. So I think if we could go back to that simplicity of cash, it's a really good way of visually seeing and understanding, you know, what do I have to spend, and helping kind of us stay in our limits.
Got you. So when you were writing your children's book, did you want to make it a series, or you're just one and done?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to make it a series, but the business side of writing kids' books is terrible. It's like you throw all this money into it and there's not a big return on it, because there's a lot of costs involved to printing. So the book industry, it needs some work on the business side of things. I'm a numbers person, so I crunch the numbers and I'm like, cost benefit analysis and return on investment. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. But I mean, I do have the ideas. So maybe I do some sort of virtual digital thing that I make available, because I love the idea of just this concept of kids continuing to learn different money concepts.
Right. So let's tell everybody a little bit about your background. You mentioned it a little bit, but you didn't dive into it. So what's your background?
Yeah. So I am a financial advisor, and I work with individuals on their, investing money, financial goals and all that. And how I really got into that was I liked and was intrigued by money early on, as I shared with my early Super Nintendo story. And for me, it was just that as I was figuring out and thinking, like, if I could do this, everyone could. So it was, I wanted to find a way where I could share this with more people, where I could help people, people like what I saw my mom going through. I didn't want that for anyone else. I didn't want people to have to carry that heavy burden of money stress. So I happened to land in the investment industry right out of university. And it's like, I found my home there. I knew that's exactly where I was meant to be. So I could be doing exactly that, helping people with their finances.
Right. So do you have a podcast or a website?
I have a website. It's KayleeBoisvert.com. My podcast, I had it running and then I stopped it. I had a little guy, so he's a year and a half. So it was like juggling all these things. And I was like, something has to go.
Right.
So the podcast was put on pause, but I'm trying TikTok out too. I just started a TikTok. I just telling my daughter last night, I'm like, Ivy, I have 14 followers on my TikTok. And she started laughing at me hysterically and said she has more than me. So it's not going well so far, but I mean, it's just the beginning.
Right. So let's talk about legacy. What does your legacy look like? And are you on track for it?
Oh, that's a big question. I don't know. I think I'm still going, like I'm still figuring it all out. I would love like just having an impact on people and their financial lives and just everyone. Like I want everyone to know that these things are possible and it's possible for them too. Like speaking as someone who grew up in poverty and we didn't have a lot and where I am now, I don't think there's anything like special or unique about me that whereas like no one else, you know, other people can replicate it and can do it too, but it's just, you know, it takes some work. It takes some effort. It takes some action steps. And so it's like, I just want to share that with people. And I guess, if I can have an impact on people's financial lives, if I can start impacting like the next younger generation and what's in store for them and setting them up for success, like that would be huge. That's, I think, my big mission.
Got you. So I got a big question for you. Is being rich a financial thing or is it a mindset?
Yes, it's a mindset, I think. Money is important. And when people say like money doesn't buy happiness, like I would disagree in some ways. Because again, when you see both sides, you're like, wow, when you have money and it's like, you know, easy and you can handle things that come at you versus the days where you're like, if an unplanned bill came at you, it was stressful. And that's the reality for a lot of people. But I think it is a mindset piece, because working with people and doing the planning for retirement, things like that, I also see, you know, when people's health gets impacted. And so that throws everything off course. People that pass away before they get time to really enjoy this whole planning, like the financial plan that they had to enjoy their retirement. So I think it's that we have to start living our wealthy lives now, whatever that is, instead of putting it off and saying like, oh, I'm going to be living it up in retirement or when I can have more freedom and flexibility of time or how can you do that now? How can you find ways to incorporate that in your life now? I think is so important. And that's how we live this rich and wealthy life. So money will maybe play a role in it, yes, but just getting to do those things in the present is so key. And that's what living a rich life is, because we can't guarantee the future. And we don't want to be putting it off all till then. We want to be enjoying and living that life now.
Got you. Well, we're talking to Kaylee Boysbert. She's the financial literacy advocate, author, and business owner. She wrote the book, Money Wise, Mabel Burst in Bank, and Make Money Your Thing. Kaylee, thank you so much for coming through on Wild Podcast. Let everybody know where they can follow you on social media and also your website again.
Yeah, so my website is kayleeboisvert.com, and that links you to all my social sites as well. So you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Kaylee Boisvert as well, and my new TikTok account.
So on your TikTok account, are you dancing or what are you doing?
Not yet, I should. I posted a video of my little guy running with his like pants down. He was wearing a diaper, but
right.
That might help the followers.
Well, thank you so much
for coming by. I'll figure it out, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Time talking to you. See you.
Bye.